Hi there. We are going to read a very nice story. My friend is here and she is an American, so she speaks much better than I do.
Yes, how do you pronounce that?
Biarritz.
Biarritz.
You should go next time you go to Bordeaux, you go to Biarritz.
Okay, what
Yeah?
do you want me to read? The
It's
story?
very until you stop and then I continue. The story, not the right
Okay.
Please. Yeah,
All right.
you will like
I
it.
might go to a glass.
The title of the story is In a Season of Calm Weather by Ray Bradbury. George and Alice Smith detrained at Biarritz one summer noon and in an hour had run through their hotel onto the beach, into the ocean, and back out to bake upon the sand. To see George Smith sprawled, burning there, you'd think him only a tourist flown to Europe and soon to be transported home. But here was a man who loved art more than life itself. George, his wife loomed over him. I know what you've been thinking. I can read your lips. He lay perfectly still waiting. And? Picasso, she said. He winced. Someday she would learn to pronounce that name. Please, she said, relax. I know you heard the rumor this morning, but you should see your eyes. Your tick is back. All right, Picasso's here, down the coast a few miles away, visiting friends in some small fishing town. But you must forget it. Our vacation's ruined. I wish I'd never heard the rumor, he said honestly. If only, she said, you liked other painters. Others? Yes, there were others. He could breakfast most congenially on Caravaggio's still lifes of autumn pears and midnight plums. For lunch, those fires squinting, thick wormed Van Gogh sunflowers. But the great feast, the paintings he saved his palette for, who else but the creator of Girl Before a Mirror and Guernica? I keep thinking, he said aloud, if we saved our money, we'll never have $5,000. I know, he said quietly, but it's nice thinking we might. Bring it off someday. Wouldn't it be great to just step up to him and say, Pablo, here's $5,000. Give us the sea, the sand, that sky, or any old thing you want. We'll be happy. After a moment, his wife touched his arm. I think you'd better go in the water now, she said. Yes, he said, I'd better do just that. During the afternoon, George Smith came out and went into the ocean with the vast spilling motions of now warm, now cool people who at last, with the sun's decline, their bodies all lobster colors, trudge for their wedding cake hotels. The beach lay deserted for endless mile and mile, save for two people. One was George Smith, towel over shoulder. Far along the shore, another shorter, square-cut man walked alone in the tranquil weather. He was deeper tanned, his close-shaven head dyed, almost mahogany, by the sun, and his eyes were clear and bright as water in his face. So the shoreline stage was set, and in a few minutes the two men would meet. The stranger stood alone, glancing about. He saw his aloneness, saw the waters of the lovely bay, saw the sun sliding down the lake colors of the day, and then half turning, spied a small wooden object in the sand. It was no more than the slender stick from a lime ice cream delicacy, long since melted away. Smiling, he picked the stick up. With another glance around to reassure his solitude, the man stooped again and, holding the stick gently with light sweeps of his hand, began to do the one thing in all the world he knew best how to do. He began to draw incredible figures along the sand. He sketched one figure and then moved over and, still looking down, completely focused on his work now, drew a second and a third figure, and after that a fourth and a fifth and a sixth. George Smith, printing the shoreline with his feet, gazed here, gazed there, and then saw the man ahead. George Smith, drawing nearer, saw that the man, deeply tanned, was bending down. Nearer yet, and it was obvious what the man was up to, George Smith chuckled. Of course, along on the beach this man, how old, 65, 70, was scribbling and doodling away. How the sand flew, how the wild portraits flung themselves out there on the shore. How? George Smith took one more step and stopped, very still. The stranger was drawing and drawing and did not seem to sense that anyone stood immediately behind him in the world of his drawings and the sand. George Smith looked down at the sand, and after a long while looking, he began to tremble, for there on the flat shore were pictures of Grecian lions and Mediterranean goats and maidens and children dancing. In the sand, in the dying light, was the color of copper, on which was now slashed a message that any man in any time might read and savor down the years. George Smith drew back and stood away. The artist glanced up, surprised to find someone so near. Then he simply stood there, looking from George Smith to his own creations, flung down idle footprints down the way. He smiled at last and shrugged as if to say, "Look what I've done. See what a child? You will forgive me, won't you? One day or another, we are all fools, you, too, perhaps. So allow an old fool this, eh? Good, good." But George Smith could only look at the little man with the sun-dark skin and the clear, sharp eyes and saw the man's name once in a whisper to himself. They stood thus for perhaps another 5 seconds, George Smith staring at the sand freeze and the artist watching George Smith with amused curiosity. George Smith opened his mouth, closed it, put his hand out, took it back. He stepped towards the picture, stepped away, then he moved along the line of figures, like a man viewing a precious series of marbles cast up from some ancient ruin on the shore. His eyes did not blink. His hand wanted to touch, but did not dare to touch. He wanted to run, but did not run. He looked suddenly at the hotel. Run, yes, run. What? Grab a shovel, dig, excavate, save a chunk of this all too crumbling sand. Find a repairman, race him back here with plaster of Paris to cast a mold of some small fragile part of these. No, no, silly, silly. Or, his eyes flicked to his hotel window. The camera, run, get it, get back, and hurry along the shore, clicking, clacking, film, clicking until George Smith whirled to face the sun. It burned faintly on his face. His eyes were two small fires from it. The sun was half underwater, and as he watched, it sank the rest of the way in a matter of seconds. The artist had drawn nearer and now was gazing into George Smith's face with great friendliness, as if he were guessing every thought. Now he was nodding, his head in a little bow. Now the ice cream stick had fallen casually from his fingers. Now he was saying good night, good night. Now he was gone, walking back down the beach towards the south. George Smith stood looking after him. After a full minute, he did the only thing he could possibly do. He started at the beginning of the fantastic breeze and he walked slowly along the shore. And when he came to the end of the animals and men, he turned round and started back in the other direction, just staring down as if he had lost something and did not know where to find it. Did not know quite where to find it. He kept on doing this until there was no more light in the sky or on the sand to see by. He sat down at the supper table. "You're late," said his wife. "I just had to come down alone. I'm ravenous. That's all right, he said. Anything interesting happened on your walk, she asked. No, he said. You look funny, George. You didn't swim out too far, did you? And almost drown. I can tell by your face you did swim out too far, didn't you? Yes, he said. Well, she said, watching him closely, don't ever do that again. Now, what'll you have? He picked up the menu and started to read it and stopped suddenly. What's wrong? Asked his wife. He turned his head and shut his eyes for a moment. Listen. She listened. I don't hear anything, she said. Don't you? No. What is it? Just the tide, he said after a while, sitting there, his eyes still shut. Just the tide coming in.
What did you think about it?
It's a good story.
It's a good story, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, the book is interesting. Yeah.
Is that
Thank you.
Good?
Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you for reading. It's very nice to hear you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. So we are going to leave you. It was a short course, but I think it was an interesting one. So please prepare number 6, I think, for next week. Yes. Next week we are doing my 25,000 Wonders of the World. Yeah? Okay, 6A. So I hope you have a nice week. Bye-bye.